Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Thursday. It is Challenge Toy Department time. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. That was a hell of an episode last night, wouldn't you say?
I thought so, yeah. I mean, I thought it was awesome. The season continues to be pretty excellent, in my opinion.
Yeah, shout out to Iceland, who I think has been providing some incredible scenery.
Iceland might be the episode MVP.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I like the Elimination Chamber that they've set up this year. I think it looks great, but some of the challenges proper, the scenery is wild. When they do those like long shots, you know, like they did before the mug bog, you're like, whoa, everything is so damn green.
Yeah.
You know, the water, when they do the water, it's effing cold. You know, I'm like, I don't know. It's great. You know they're going to do something on like a glacier at some point too, right? Like probably in the final.
Final's probably going up a glacier. I will say, though, just in terms of how viciously cold and uncomfortable it looked, this might have been, even though it was sort of the greenest challenge setting, it just looked so cold. I mean, it just, the cold was like radiating off the screen in this episode.
I think they're all way more miserable than they let on.
Yeah. And there were even a couple people who were like, it is so effing cold. Like, I think it was CT who, like, the second or third time he got in was like, man, it got a lot colder in here.
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling like this season reminds me a little bit, and some of it obviously is the editor shaping narrative, but it reminds me a lot of an NBA season, right? Where like teams or players get hot for, you know, a couple week stretches at a time and sort of are like the talk of the league, and, you know, and then they regress to their mean and somebody else sort of steps up and gets hot and you're sort of focusing on them for a while. And I feel like this is, this week we are solidly in the like Cam MVP run.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say is, if that's the case, then who, like, isn't Cam just like one of these dudes? Like, Cam is LeBron then, right? Where it's just like, we're not maybe talking about him enough when we do that weekly MVP nonsense, but like, he's just better than everybody all the time and he's really winning. He's winning right now.
Yeah. And then there'll be a big stretch where it's like, oh yeah, yeah, let's appreciate LeBron. And then it'll go back to being, you know, Kevin Durant or Giannis or somebody else. For
oh my God, look at the run that Jaylen Brown is on. You know, that's
yeah, exactly. But Cam's on a run right now, and I think the other girls aren't scared of her.
They damn well should be.
What did you make of Nani throwing that first? Not throwing, but literally throwing the idol in her direction in that first challenge.
I don't think that's what happened. I mean, I know Cam used the word throw. That's not how I would describe that. I think that was a fumble.
You think a fumble? Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was a fumble that flew through the air to Cam. But I didn't see. It did not seem to me like Nani was like, well, I'm going down. Might as well throw Cam a bone. I think Nani was like, ah! And that was what happened.
Yeah.
Kyle had a great burn when Nani found the relic. Like, she was the least well-equipped to handle that responsibility. She immediately flipped out. She went right into the middle of the pool, so she was surrounded by people. It didn't work out.
Totally.
And then
I
you
will
saw...
say, however, though, right? Cam's at the least said Nani threw me the thing. And then, you know, Cam winds up doing Nani's team a giant solid later on in the game.
Yeah, but I don't think they had a deal or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we definitely we'll get into that decision, right? Because I have some questions about the strategy there.
Well, I think it starts with imagining it would be a girl's day.
So you think this was a Nani play, not a Josh and Nani play?
Well, I think Cam was willing to do either of them a solid. I think Cam looks at that as, if these people are not my enemies, there's no reason to make new enemies right now. And if I can turn them into a friend, so much the better. I think it's just a general strategy play.
Yeah. I think that's a miscalculation on her part.
You do. Okay, hold on. I want to start at the beginning, because before we get into the deep strategy of the of Cam's power moves, this episode began with the Huey Lewis song "Power of Love."
Yeah, I had that in my notes too. I'm like, I know we've talked about how old the music is a number of times this season, but come on, "Power of Love."
Like, if you weren't alive when "Back to the Future" came out, you're not the core demographic for this show anymore.
I know. That was immediately my thought. I'm like, how many people watching this were alive when this song was released? Never mind familiar with it.
I would love to see their numbers, man. I would love to see what their internal numbers say that make them believe that clearly this is a show for like Gen X and old millennials, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're talking about "Power of Love" and "You Spin Me Right Round," like, those are old songs for Gen X, you know? Like,
yeah, "Spin Me Right Round" is. "Power of Love," though, because of "Back to the Future," "Power of Love" has a real sweet spot with my generation and yours.
Ah, yeah, I suppose that's fair. But, I mean, I was like, I mean, I remember Huey Lewis, but I was like 9 or 10 when Huey Lewis was huge, you know?
Totally, so. Yeah. No, and I was even younger, but because of "Back to the Future," I know all the lyrics to "The Power of Love" and several other Huey Lewis songs. So
Huey was another one that had a Giannis-like run.
He did. No doubt, man. Hey, he does, dude.
Just dominating.
A sad story too. He's lost his hearing. I want to say, like, so he can't really sing anymore. Anyway, but he's a great talent. The voice is truly unique and incredible. Anyway, let's not get too far into Huey Lewis in the news. Other than that's where we're at in this show, and I love it. I also just wanted to mention, I think this may have been sort of the inflection point episode for "I don't want to go in" versus "I need a goddamn skull."
Yeah.
And obviously that's partly because the skulls are gone, but it's also partly because Mishi's gone now. And nobody else is trying to skate. You know what I'm saying? All the dudes who don't have skulls are heavy hitters.
Yes, as TJ pointed out.
Yep. And on the women's side, it's a little more complicated, but people are starting to turn from "why would you want to put me in there" to "I need to go in there."
Yeah. And I honestly, I would say that happened before TJ announced that was the last men's skull.
100%.
Yeah.
This was the episode where the vibe really turned on that. Okay. So before we get into the strategy, can we just talk about the Lolo and Nam thing?
Yeah. I think Lola resolved a lot of her stuff, I would say, you know, before the end of this episode.
Did she?
It's all her, right?
That's right. Because here's the thing. I don't even know if resolved is the right word, but she, like, closed the loop on a couple of conflicts by the end of this episode. That's true. But I'm not sure I would say she's resolved anything, because I think I will remember this as the episode where it became clear to me that Lolo just sucks. She sucks.
I think that she is lost in this game. Like, people talked about maybe Nam being lost in this game.
He's not.
I think Lolo is lost in this
game. She's way more lost than Nam. I mean, Nam, understands what's happening. Like, that conversation they're having where she's like, these people are going to screw you over in the end. And he's like, yeah, but they're going to help us now. You know? Like, this is how this works, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. And at one point he was like, it's not that bad, you know? And she's like, everything's terrible.
Right. She's, the politics of this game are freaking her out.
Yes.
And she is unable to retrofit her Olympic competitive spirit into the spirit of this game. You know, right. And I think that those two things, like not understanding, like, you know, she's used to sports where if you violate a rule, you're fucking out, right? You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah. And by the way,
this is a sport where there are no rules.
Exactly. And yeah. that was a ridiculous thing to flip out at Anissa over. There was did you see any, would you have even thrown like a caution on what Anissa did?
No.
No. It's a perfectly valid move.
No. You know, if any, like, I mean, it's sort of the equivalent of like a tackle where you're, you know, you're going, oh, did he get the face mask,
right.
you know, inadvertently in that tackle? Or, oh, did he put his hand in the wrong place and maybe it's a horse collar? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
there wasn't any ill intent.
None.
There,
it was totally within the game. And I think that was the point where they cut to the big T ITM and she threw the most incredible subtle shade at Lolo.
I may have missed this subtle shade.
Well, because it was in the form. It took me a second, but I like 3 seconds after she finished talking, I turned to my wife and I was like, that was shade. And she was like, definitely. Because it was something, it was like Lolo's freaking out and big T was like, oh, I just feel bad for Lolo. It seems like she's really upset about her neck being grabbed, and this game seems really stressful for her, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like in the form of like, oh, poor Lolo. But it's like, when Big T says that about you, it's shade.
Yeah. God, she's such a queen.
Yeah, and she's the best. Big T continues to thrill. And man, when CT was losing his mind and walked off the camera on the like pre-final interview, he's like, you know, we're never gonna win this, I don't think I could beat Cam, and he like spits and walks off screen, and Big T just looks at the camera, flashes a huge smile and runs off after him.
Like, yeah.
she understands the moments and the how to be on camera so well. She's really a star on this show.
She's female Kyle in that way, I think.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison. That is a pretty good comparison.
She really gets it. And I have to say, I thought, honestly, that CT, especially given, you know, his arc over the course of the history of the show, I actually thought he handled that whole situation, like, pretty well. Like, I was like, when that started, I was like, oh, man, he's really going to make Big T feel bad about this situation. Like, he's not wrong about any of it.
Yeah, no, but the
he goes, yeah, when he goes, I don't even know that I could beat Cam.
Right.
Like, so perfect.
Yes.
You know? Like,
yeah.
He was clearly, like, trying to take care of her. And then I think he cut the deal.
Yes.
In a really great way. Like, yep. Clearly it was designed to, I'm going to throw this, but we're going to do it in a way so that TJ doesn't get mad.
Yeah.
which is a step that most of the other competitors throwing challenges this season just haven't managed to take,
nope.
You know?
Yeah, no, like, he understands the game so well, but he is in a position now. I think he and Nam are probably the worst off, where if they don't win and put themselves in, I don't know how they're going to get a skull.
People don't want to put them in, right?
Yeah. No one's. I mean, first of all, nobody with a skull wants to go in. So you're going to have to be the power team and convince the house to vote in someone with a skull, right?
Like, okay.
It's going to be really hard right now. Let's put that to the side for a second.
Let's not put that to the side if we can. I mean, I know that.
I want to finish something. Sorry. I want to finish talking about this challenge, though. I keep dragging us back.
I know, because I do think that goes directly to the Cam thing we're talking about before. So
we'll
table that and we'll get to the challenge.
So okay. Let me just let's finish this challenge, because here's some other things I wrote down. Nam, before they ever started, I said out loud, Well, if you find it, you just don't stand up and you just keep pretending like you're looking to the side and then walk out. And that's what Nam did, which, again, I think shows like he gets this game better than it might seem.
Yep. 100%. Not to call him out, but, you know, you listen to Simmons and Jacoby and, like, Nam is dumb has sort of been a running theme of their
recaps. Oh, I don't listen
recaps.
To them.
Yeah. And, like, it's kind of one of their favorite jokes. And it's like, I'm like, that's not correct. Like,
it's not Nam's right.
Not dumb. And he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have great command of his English.
That's right.
That's
By
it.
The way, I noticed for the first time this week that he's wearing a German flag. So I say that to
German.
Say... But I'm making the point only that English is at least his third language. So, like, give the guy a fucking break, all right?
Yeah. He's, yeah, for real.
And other than that, he hasn't done anything to suggest he isn't pretty smart. Second thing I wrote down, the move that Gabby pulled was pretty slick. The way she ran,
yeah.
Like, she waited for all the bigger girls to be battling, and then she just sort of worked the outside until she saw the relic stick out in someone's hand and just grabbed and ran. Like, if Gabby is another one where I feel like she's a little tougher than you think and a little cleverer than you think, and she might not be so bad at this.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, like, kind of like Cam said, is like, she's a trainer, she's got a lot of
right.
muscles, she's just not that big, you know?
Exactly. And she's not going to be able to beat Cam in a pole wrestle, and that's the thing. I just this challenge was about as vicious a daily challenge as you will see. Not only was it multiple rounds, not only were you rooting around in the mud in the freezing cold, you had to pole wrestle in freezing cold muddy water. Like, that is vicious.
Yep. Part of why I don't blame CT for throwing it in
and
the
it's
end.
Yeah, and it had started raining by that final round.
Yeah.
He had to throw it. Otherwise, and you know what? It's to Kyle's benefit and his benefit that he threw it, because they would have burned themselves out battling each other over and over again. Like, Kyle's no chump. It's not like if CT tried his hardest, it would have been easy for him. It still would have been
no.
a battle. So,
and he would have had to go minimum of 10 times, I would think, to for Big T to get a win. Minimum.
Right. Minimum. I honestly don't think they could go enough times for Big T to beat Cam in a pole wrestle.
Yeah.
I just like
if you told me it was 100 times,
right.
I would believe that.
It would have to there would have to be something lucky where, like,
yeah.
Cam twisted her wrist the wrong way, and I don't know. The likelihood is,
yeah. By the way, I think that absolutely
hurt.
Happened to Gabby.
It did.
You know, I haven't listened to any behind the scenes things, but yeah.
No, she screeched when her wrist twisted. You could see it on screen.
Yeah, and that ended that one real quick.
Okay, I don't have a great burn of the week, but I think we should do that now, and then we could talk about the elimination decisions.
One more thing, because this goes to that challenge, and it's sort of a burn of the week. it's a subtle shade of the week. When Cam beat Big T in that first pole wrestle, did you notice she said sorry, babe?
Yes, as she was picking her up out of the mud.
Sorry, I just crushed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some good. Killer Cam stuff.
Yeah, it was big time.
Okay.
I didn't want to have to hurt you, but I do need to win vibes from
yeah.
Cam.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a good one. I enjoyed I wrote down a handful of, like, mellow burns this week. I really enjoyed Michi burning himself when, in his first ITM of the episode, he just stared dead into the camera and was like, I don't know what's going on in this game.
Okay, this, you know what, I was legitimately mad at Michi when he revealed that he had not studied puzzles.
Exactly.
Coming into this game,
the,
like,
last thing he said,
legit mad.
Yeah, on his way off screen and out of the season, he said, man, I probably should have studied puzzles. Yeah, dog.
You
definitely should have stuck. This was like an easy slider puzzle. This was not heavy duty puzzle stuff. It was like, just slide these around and then you could go do the thing. And he couldn't
like,
do
hey,
it.
There's puzzles every season, but more importantly, you're one of the smaller dudes.
Right.
Like, being good at puzzles is like your key to staying in the game.
100%. And by the way, Josh bungled this thing enough that the door was wide open for Mishi to compete. And I don't even remember who said it, but this is ultimately my burn of the week. Was it CT? Whoever it was, in the middle of the elimination, as Josh was like bouncing the bombs off the side, it cut to someone who just was like, this shit has got to be the most – oh, I think it was Darrell. This shit has got to be the most comical elimination I've ever seen.
Yeah, Darrell had some good lines this week.
He did.
I also like when he was like, hello, well, hello, Nob. Welcome to the challenge. I thought it was
really as he's getting drowned in mud by CT. Yeah, not great.
Yeah. That was really good, too. My burn of the week went to TJ, actually.
I thought we decided we weren't going to do that because we would have to do it every week.
Oh, did we? All right. Well, I may have some other candidates, but I still have to shout out when Michi said, I was trying, man. TJ goes, I know that's what was so sad.
And then he tried to turn it around. He was like, but you seem like a really nice guy, and maybe we'll see you again someday.
Yeah. By the way, TJ cackling at Josh was also amazing.
God. Beautiful. Also, did you notice, I somehow, again, this week, for the first time, noticed Mishi has a sideburn tattoo.
Sure does. Yeah.
Pretty
sure
intense,
does.
Man. That's a pretty intense, some intense tattoos going on.
Yeah, for real. All right, so if I can't give it to TJ, then I think that I'm going to give it to Kyle, who said, and I'm quoting, I didn't know that Josh had a brain. I thought it was like a little peanut.
He did say that. He also, at the end of the challenge, after, you know, being gifted a win by CT, was just like, come on, losers, as they were walking off the challenge the stage. TJ's like, all right, I'll see you later. He's like, come on, losers.
Losers.
All right, so let's get to it. Cam and Kyle are in charge. Kyle wants to do a secret plan where they put Fessy and Josh in. And Cam says that's a really dumb plan.
Yes. And, you know, look, Cam is queen. She's kicking ass in this game. I feel like we've given due respect.
100%.
To Cam in this episode. So I say, with all due respect, that was a really dumb comment. And
why?
Her decision was a really dumb decision. And here is why. We've talked about all season, right, that if you're going to win this game, you got to go through and break up the Big Brother alliance when you have a chance. And I understand that Cam, right, because Leroy is sort of tangentially partnered with the Big Brother alliance,
right,
that it's a little bit complicated. And I do understand that you are going to make an enemy.
Right.
But, like, when you have a chance to take out the two, you know, one of the two enforcers of that Big Brother alliance, you have to do it. You're going to see them in a final.
Isn't there only really...
value...
Oh, go ahead.
All right. The value, right, that they're supposedly getting from this is, well, they will owe me one. But I think that a lot of that is sort of like lessened by the fact that there are no more skulls left. People are going to start doing what they got to do. Yeah. And also lessened by the fact that that alliance is snakes. And the one thing we can say for them with certainty is that they are Big Brother before everyone else.
Right.
And so I think that I think that she miscalculated by not striking at them when she got a chance. And I frankly don't know that she's going to get much out of it other than not coming back and having someone be mad at you. And if you're lucky, right, that person that comes back is Josh somehow.
But it's not.
given that elimination.
That's why she didn't do it.
The other way. But whatever.
I bet if she thought it was even 50-50, even 60-40 Fessy, she might have done it. But it's 95-5. So basically, if you make that move and put Fessy and Josh in, you're nearly guaranteeing that an angry Fessy is coming back at you. And as Fessy said, and this I thought was maybe the best point, you give him a chance to change partners, which he obviously wants to do.
He'll change partners.
And what if it's then? What if he picks Casey?
Then he partners with Casey. Great. then you've got those two together, right? And you can get them. You can get one of them out of the game next week.
How? I mean, I think that's
the
problem.
You have the numbers in the house at that point, right?
No, but who's going to take them out? You can put them in elimination.
Because it's Fessy and Casey.
Who's going to beat either of them?
Put them up against Lolo and Nam?
I guess.
Don't you put them up against Lolo and Nam?
Yeah, maybe that's the move, and maybe that will be the move.
I take my chances that way.
Boy, I guess, but then you have to be in control again. And you went from basically off Fessy's radar to his number one enemy, and he's one of the teams that has a really good chance of winning any daily challenge, right? So,
if he wins the power, if they win the Power Cup or Rogue Agents, whatever the hell it's called,
yeah,
then you have a problem. But otherwise, the numbers in the house are on your side. So as long as he doesn't win, right, you got a good chance of setting them up in elimination.
I'm not sure the numbers are on your side. It's just the numbers are not clear. If he eliminates Josh, the numbers are no longer clearly in Big Brother's favor, but they're not clearly in the Cam Leroy favor either. And again, because Leroy and Casey are partnered right now, you're sort of linked to them, and you're not on their radar. If Fessy goes in, wins, and has a chance to pick Casey, then all of a sudden you're totally vulnerable to them because you're not attached to them in any way. I see what you're saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think it's not as clear as maybe you're suggesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty clear. I mean, I think when you look at, right, Fessy and Anissa were pretty damn close to getting voted in this week, right? So
yeah,
I don't think that Big Brother has that many numbers because, you know, there's four Big Brother people, right?
Well, they sort of soft-sold
Casey, Josh, this. Fessy, and Amber B.
Yeah, they sort of soft-sold this, but I think Kyle really tried to get them in, and it didn't work. You know? So
yeah, well, I think Kyle definitely tried to get him in.
Right.
Kyle tried to do it anyway.
So, well, that's the point. And I don't think Cam worked against him in that. I kind of think their plan was, let's try to get Fessy and Anissa in as the house vote, and either way, we throw in Josh and Nani. Right? Because there's no point putting Fessy in against Mishi and Amber once they're in there. I'm not sure Cam could have done anything differently.
I still don't see the point of throwing Josh and Nani against a layup other than currying favor with them.
But you would have thrown – who would you have – here's the thing about Josh and Nani. Yeah, they're part of the Big Brother Alliance and they're veterans, but they're not very good. You'd be happy to compete against them in a final, so why not let them get a gold skull?
Yeah, Josh is just an effing wild card, right? You know what I mean?
Kind of, but when has he ever been really good at anything?
You're not really that scared of Nani.
You're not scared of either of them. Josh, Josh is big and strong. But he's never, ever, ever been really good ever at anything. This was his first elimination win, and
I was genuinely surprised. Yeah, I was genuinely surprised to find out that was his first elimination win. And boy, did he handle it like a goober.
He handled it exactly like you knew he was going to cry. As soon as he won, you knew he was about to cry on camera. Like, nothing was more sure than him breaking down in tears. What is as soon as he won? By the way, in the most embarrassing fashion, you can win a challenge, an elimination. The saddest elimination win you might ever see. Devin is laughing his ass off, and Josh is somehow talking shit to people like he just beat CT in a pole wrestle.
He is just such a fascinating dude to me,
man.
In that, like, he's not an ill-willed person.
He like, seems I like a sweetheart.
Yeah. Like, I think he's mostly a teddy bear, which is why, like, so many women in that in this game like him a lot. Like, deeply.
Yes.
And yet, he is so, like, there is not 1% of him that contains a single bit of self-awareness.
Or very much self-control. He is a, everyone describes him so well. Like, it's not really that complicated. He's a giant toddler.
He really is.
It's, there's just like, it's, you want there to be more to explain his behavior, but some, it's Occam's razor. Like, you just, it's the simplest answer is the right answer. He is a giant man with the emotional.
He's a big man, baby.
Yeah, with the EQ of a toddler. And God love him, he's a sweet toddler, but he's totally out of control.
Yeah, and when he's throwing a tantrum, which is often, like, you're like you know what I mean? You're mad at him. Like, you'd be mad at a toddler who won't stop crying. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Exactly.
It is like, yeah, like, he has the capacity to annoy that is far beyond. It's weird. Like, he has somehow turned this sort of like total naivete into like this weird heel role in this show that is like weirdly effective. You know what I mean? It's like the anti-Wes or the anti-Devin. Like, Devin completely knows he's being a jerk and Josh has no idea.
Right. Yeah. No, that's funny. I hadn't thought of it that way, but he is sort of the, he's the exact opposite of the people who play with, like, this calculated, you know, sneakiness. Like, his entire...
Yeah.
Everything he's doing is written on his sleeve, and he's just, like, a raw, exposed nerve at all times.
Has there ever been a player that made you more feel like, oh, God, will you just go home? You know, like, please leave the show.
Yeah, like, but it's been a while.
That at times. And Teresa's in this cast.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're right. You're right. I guess I felt that way about, like, Beth.
Yeah, for sure. In the old days, there were lots of people that you felt that way about.
Yeah. God, man. Watching those episodes and just watching, like, those girls be just mean.
Brutal. Just brutal.
Like,
it was so
like
much
in, like, Inferno. Like, those, yes. So mean.
It was so much more like real world mean girl shit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That was just
for
a part of what
stuff
they were
that
doing.
Honestly, like, would have gotten them kicked off of the current season. I feel like.
I think that's probably right, or at least like reprimanded and you know, stopped. Stopped, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they took nude photos of Tanya, man. Like, that is, I'm pretty sure that gets kicked out now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's,
and probably not invited back.
I think that's probably sexual assault. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
There was a lot of not okay stuff on those seasons, as we know. And I think some of them have essentially been scrubbed because of that. Like, you can't find certain seasons. Even on the platforms where they're all streaming.
That would not surprise me. Yeah. Somewhere like Cut to D going.
Yep.
See, I'm not that bad. Bring me back.
In fact, I was watching a season that isn't, that might have been Dirty 30. Do you remember when, this is a slight tangent, do you remember when Simone and Tony's brother Shane got in a fight? And she, like, accused him of hitting her, and she scratched his face.
I barely remember Tony's brother, Shane. She scratched his face?
Yeah. But now, and I watched it probably via, like, illegal stream or something a while back. I don't think I watched it live, but I watched it where you saw a decent amount of the fight. And I was just watching it on you know, official streaming, and they cut it. There's like a jump in the show, and they're just talking about a fight that happened, and you basically don't see any of it. So I think as the challenge is blowing up, they're doing their best to scrub some of the most uncomfortable moments from their past, which is understandable, man. If you've been on for 36 seasons at this point in time, some messed up stuff has happened, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, all these franchises have their messed up things.
Yeah. Well, I think almost any reality show.
Reality TV is going to deliver it.
Exactly. Yeah. If you go back it through the real world, you'd be scandalized at this point. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so MVP in this episode's Cam, right? We pretty much laid that out.
Has to be. Has to be. She's in total control of the game right now, and even if you don't totally agree with her decision-making, like, it's hers. It's her decision-making.
Yeah, I don't dispute any of that. I think it's interesting that you feel like that they might have gone with Kyle's plan had Fessy and Anissa gotten voted in.
I do think that, yeah. I do.
Because I kind of think they would have just thrown Michi and Amber in.
That's possible.
Had that been the case.
Okay, that's possible. But I still don't think that would have been totally wrong. Because, again, in that case, there's still a skull out there, right? And I don't know who's served by having Michi around anymore. And now you're in a spot where, like, especially if you win, you're in control of who has a chance to get a skull and who has a chance to lose their skull. And I think that's the position Cam views it from, is like, I may very well win every single daily, so, like, I'm going to stay in control here, and I'm not going to make unnecessary enemies until I have to.
I guess. I think that if she was thinking smarter, she would realize that maybe her skull is in fairly good, tight hands, but she should be worried about Leroy's skull.
Should she?
You know, I'm not saying Leroy's the most obvious target among people who have skulls. That's probably Devin. In fact, it's almost certainly Devin.
And who's second?
But he, I would say he might be second.
No way.
Is Kyle second, I guess?
No.
Kyle's a skull, right?
No. Yes, but he's Kyle's third. Who's second?
I don't know who you think is second.
Josh!
After Devin.
Of course! It's Josh.
Maybe now. You're right. Maybe now.
Leroy is second to last. Like, Leroy is the second most secure skull. You'd rather face Devin, Josh, or Kyle than Leroy. 100%. Especially after the performance he gave in the elimination.
I think you're saying yes. As, right. Josh may have put a target on his back with that elimination performance, for sure.
And
I agree.
No, but I'm saying Leroy took a target off his back with his performance as well.
Yeah, he was really good. But I also think that you could easily say he caught the right event. You know what I mean? So,
okay, but do you want to face him? I mean, there's no swimming in elimination. You know what I'm saying? I can't think of anything other than swimming where I'd rather face Leroy than Kyle or Josh.
I don't know. I think there are some things. I think there's some things.
All right.
You want to see Josh in a hall brawl? Just kind of like Josh just said, honestly, afterwards. You don't. I'd rather see Leroy. Not that Leroy in a hall bar be a picnic, but I'd rather see him than Josh.
Nope, disagree. Josh has a couple inches on him, but
and like 50 pounds, dude.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Josh looks a little puffy to me. Leroy looks cut.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Does the challenge wiki do weights?
that's an excellent question that we're about to find out.
Leroy,
I've said it all season. My number one priority in this game would be to break up that Big Brother alliance, and I think that people have been not shooting their shot against them, and that it's going to bite them in the end. And I think we're now headed towards a place where there's a good chance one of them wins. Casey would be my bet, honestly.
I'm going to say this now because I've been thinking it since before the season started. And I'm probably overthinking it. But I kind of think Leroy wins. Just based on nothing other than the conviction with which he's refusing to say he'll do more challenges.
Yeah, but all of that, right? He's saying all of that, you know, on the show before the result is in, right?
Yes, but the strength with which he's sticking to it, again, I might be overthinking it, but I just feel like it's Leroy's season. I really do. And that elimination win just sort of solidified that in my mind, even if it's based on nonsense.
Challenge Wiki does not have weights, by the way. But it does have ages. How old do you think Leroy is?
Oh, I know. I had already looked. He's 35, which is older than I would have guessed. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure doesn't.
That's a bummer.
Doesn't have heights either.
No, it has no heights or weights. So we don't know. But
Josh is 27, by the way.
I know. All the more reason old man strength wins a hall brawl, man. It really isn't even going to matter that much who wants to face who, because I think this is more going to be determined by who wins the daily. If somebody without a skull, like moving forward right now, okay? Well, we're going to get a girls' elimination next week. And I don't know. I guess Amber M can't go in now, right? Because she's the rogue agent? Can you?
Correct.
So you can't compromise the rogue agent. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Nani may want to try to go in again. We'll see. But whatever happens there, once that's done, it's going to be pretty much if you win the daily, if you're someone who doesn't have a gold skull, you're going to win the daily and throw yourself in against somebody with a gold skull, right? And if you have a gold skull, you're going to use the power to send maybe, you know, whoever you want to face each other, right? So it's not even going to be about who wants to face who, except if a non-skull haver wins the daily, and at that point they're going to have to get the house to throw in the person they want, which might not be that easy.
Correct. Depends on who they are in the game. All the more reason why you should be trying to break up the one solid alliance that hasn't lost any numbers and still has two really strong players.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you're probably right.
Sort of strong players.
You're probably right, but I don't know that eliminating Mishi and Amber hurts your numbers so much. Like, they're sort of a weird wild card. Or just Mishi, not even Mishi and Amber. I don't know that you change the numbers dramatically either way by eliminating Mishi. So I think it was fine to wait, I guess. You're right that ultimately you have to break up that alliance, but I'm not sure it mattered that you wait a week or two.
Yeah, we'll see. The one thing we didn't touch on that sort of is here for us is the Amber drama.
Yeah.
Do we see that coming back?
So I guess it depends what Kyle does, right?
Yeah. They said it. It was such a rookie move on Amber's part. Like, pulling the move is fine. You know what I mean? But, like, the person that you seek out is not Kyle, right? You go to Cam. You can barely trust Cam.
Here's the
Cam
thing.
Cam might burn you, but Kyle is definitely going to burn you.
You go to no one. This is one of those slightly counterintuitive things. So I understand the mistake, truly. Like, I want to give her a bit of a break because, again, she's a rookie and it's a little hard to see this. But this is one of those things where, like, it seems like to avoid them telling Amber M that you voted for her, you have to talk to them. But in reality, the likelihood of them doing that, if it's not pointed out to them, is very small because they don't care.
Agreed.
They never would have thought to tell Amber M that you voted for her.
They're not
her.
Thinking about you.
Exactly. So instead of securing your secrecy, you've just put yourself on their radar in a way that you were not beforehand.
Yeah. I also think that he correctly surmised the situation. And I think ultimately she may have just been better off going to Amber and saying, look, I really like you. We've been really great friends. We are now at the point of the game where any name I say is going to be difficult. And I may need to say your name. It doesn't mean I don't love you. And I'm not offended if you say mine. I get it. Like we
got to do what we got
to
do.
It's all love, but we're here to win $1 million. Yep. Yeah. And we're here for ourselves right now. So like, and I honestly, I think that like, I mean, I don't think Amber would have loved that, but I think she probably was right. But this was just, she could not handle the idea of directly telling someone bad news. Right. So, that wasn't going to be a play for her. And she just put her, she put her trust in the wrong hands. I have a feeling it may blow up on her a little bit next week.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would. It's not even that she put her trust in the wrong hands as much as that just she did too much, right? I mean, yeah, she also put her trust in the wrong hands. Kyle's not trustworthy, but it almost doesn't matter who that was. It could have been any power, power agents, double agents, whatever, secret agents, and it still would have been an unnecessary thing to tell them. You know, yeah, if you don't say anything, there's a possibility they blow your spot up, but the possibility of them doing that increases greatly by bringing attention to yourself, no matter who it is, Kyle or Big T or whoever.
Yeah, don't bring attention to yourself.
Right, and you would think by now she would have learned that, because Durrell is executing that plan somewhat to perfection so far.
Yeah.
Just staying off the radar, man.
Except that, you know, there's no skulls left. And
yeah, I mean, he's going to have to find a way in. Challenge. And now I think
he's going to need some help to get in.
Or he's got to win a daily. And this is, I mean, look at this. This is on the men's side. We're down to the serious stuff. We went through
exactly
the gold skull havers already, right? So we've got Fessy, Josh, Devin, Leroy, and Kyle all have gold skulls. The guys without skulls are CT, Corey, Nam, and who am I missing?
Durrell.
It's either like past champions or Nam.
Or hunks of granite.
Yeah. Like it is. I mean, honestly, those guys only get a shot at a skull if they win a daily. Otherwise, you're putting them in against each other, right?
Right. Sure are. If you have a skull, you're just trying to call out the people who don't.
Exactly.
Right? So,
and especially
that's what
since.
I mean, is like, I don't think anybody's trying to do Durrell any favors from here on out. He's going to have to win.
No, you're right. But that's also probably why Cam is a little safer staying on the good side of Fessy, is because if Fessy wins right now, he's going to want to put two people without skulls against each other, right? And because
see, I think you are assuming that Fessy is a rational actor.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably irresponsible.
And he's right. Fessy has developed some conflicts in this game.
He has.
At this point. And it would also been overly aggressive. Right. So it would not shock me if either of those things came into play in terms of his skull making decision.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. Although I will say that's another reason why Cam should probably wasn't so silly to avoid his hit list. Right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think you got to take them out. And I think you're running out of opportunities.
It's going to be really interesting.
That takes precedence over everything.
Going to be really interesting what happens with this last girl's gold skull, because Casey still doesn't have one, right?
No, I don't think she does.
Yeah, so
I don't think she does.
There's
someone will do her a favor to get one, though.
Right? I think that's right.
Like, you'll see it happen.
Well, and to your point with the with the Big Brother Alliance, like, if she wants to go in, she can probably pull the strings to make that happen at any time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just think that they are the specter in this game. And, you know, you got to shoot your shot sooner or later. And we're running out of shots to take.
Yeah, I will say a part of Cam's strategy may also stem from just utter elimination confidence.
Yeah.
I don't think she believes anyone could beat her. Right?
I think that's probably true. And I would say that and the fact that, right, that Leroy and Casey are still paired.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Her first partner in this game is Leroy. So,
yeah.
So that's why she's acting, but I do think it's a mistake. And like I said, it would not surprise me at all if it burns them.
Well, we shall see.
As good as Cam's been.
We shall see. We can start to get excited for next week because we do know it is TJ's favorite week of the challenge. It's trivia.
Not just TJ's.
True story. Always an excellent challenge. Although they've set a high standard this season.
We've got Mean Girls being Mean Girls and trivia next week.
Yep.
I'm here for it. Yeah, like that. That was in my notes. Mean Girls and trivia. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Should be another very exciting episode of the challenge. I feel like we did it. I feel like we got through everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all there is. I don't know exactly how many episodes are left. It feels like we're in the neighborhood of like 5 or 6. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see what happens, right? Like we have no idea where this game's going to go. We just have guesses at this point. So
that's right. And by the way, you know,
bring it on.
Yeah. They talk about trimming the fat and most of the fat has now been trimmed, you know, Amber M aside.
Well, that's the thing is, it's like, if you're Darrell, right. And now your game depends on winning challenges. Like, I don't think it's like the Lakers where they're like, oh, it's the playoffs are coming. We're going to play defense now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's a switch he can flip in this group of competitors where it's just like, oh, I'm going to go win a challenge. Like, it's going to be a slog.
Yeah.
No matter what the challenge is with this group. You know what I mean? So, and I don't think, you know, since we know that next week's game is trivia.
Yeah.
I don't know that plays to his strength. So
I think, you know, he's probably middle of the pack.
You know,
I don't think Darrell's. Go ahead.
You know who I don't favor in a trivia challenge is Fest.
True story.
So, you know, we were talking about what if Fessy gets control of the game. I feel like that is unlikely next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you know, obviously Cam doesn't know that.
Yeah, and of course you never know.
Yeah. You never do know. It's the challenge. Anything can happen, folks.
Indeed, and hopefully it will.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back on Tuesday with normal toy department and back a week from today with the challenge.
I can't wait. I wish it was Wednesday again already.
Seriously. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.